it's important to try to a certain degree put Ravadia's life in a broader context of the Sephardi yeshivas and the Sephardi Mesora, and I can't do that. And so Rav Shai Shlita gave us more of a background of the Mesora in the Sephardi world and the yeshivas, Ravadia learned that, and how it all fits. Yeah?
So, one of the things that are very developed in the Ashkenazi world, everybody is familiar at a certain point that they go to yeshiva, they're going to hear about Volozhin, and how it all started from Volozhin, and how we all originate from the yeshiva of Volozhin. Now, in the Sephardi world, there's like kind of a similar situation, with a place right next to us, Yeshivat Parat Yosef. In order to see the picture in the Sephardi world of Talmidei Chachamim and Sur and all that stuff, so you have to be a little familiar with the recent history, and then that puts a lot of things in perspective. And you also, and that's another issue, even for Ashkenazim think that they're God's gift to the earth, so do Sephardi. But one of the things is that Sephardim usually know Ashkenazi stuff. Ashkenazim do not know Sephardi stuff. That's like a very that's true about history. That's true about Torah. It's true in many fields, and doesn't have a lot of justice to it. One of the hespedim that Rav Soloveitchik once gave, he gave a hesped to Rav Gold. Rav Gold is Rav Katz's grandfather. Did you know that? Rav Gold. Okay, so Rav Gold.
He told me once and I forgot.
Was he was like a guy? He was a Mizrahi guy that that he was a very big activist for Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of the 20th century. So one of the nice things that Rav Soloveitchik wrote about him is that he was exposed to all the different communities, because he went all over the Jewish world to get the people to come to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik wrote about him, that the idea of Knesset Yisrael is like this body that connects different Jewish communities to be one big entity. He said, to him was clearer to us, because we live in a very, like, you know, the communities that we live in, they all look the same, they sound the same. It really doesn't matter if you live in Lawrence or in this or in that, it's all the same. But he said that Rav Gold was exposed to different Jewish communities. Okay, so we'll start the story like of the Sephardi Jews in the recent 150 years starts in two places, in Iraq and in Syria. Okay, in Iraq there was a person called the Ben Ish Chai. Everybody heard, I hope everybody heard the name. If not, then shame on you. The Ben Ish Chai was a... Yeah, this is the picture of the Ben Ish Chai. This is the picture of the Ben Ish Chai. This is a good book. There are like a lot of books about the Ben Ish Chai. Now, the Ben Ish Chai did not have an official position in Baghdad, but he was the main spiritual leader of the Jews in Baghdad in the 19th century. Now, he was a central figure in the Sephardi world, so much so, he had shaylus from Northern Africa all the way up to India. India had a very big Sephardi community, people are not aware of that. An Iraqi business community, there are always these Jewish business communities. So that was one of them. It was a very, very rich community, very central community for the Sephardim. If you wanted to raise money, you would not go to America, you would go to India. Okay, so the Ben Ish Chai personally was a person of many talents. Like he was, his books cover like all realms of Torah, which means Kabbalah, Halacha. He even wrote a Musa book for women. He's like, he was involved in different types of Torah at any given level. he was the main darshan in Baghdad, and he had the he had four Shabbos a year that he would give his sermons, which were like a big, big event back then. That was Shabbos Agadol, Shabbos Shuva, and two other Shabbos, and I can't remember which ones. But so he was a main actor in the Sephardi world. He was also the biggest known Mekubal in his days. I'm assuming that people somehow heard the name the Leshem. The Leshem is Rabbi Yeshiv's grandfather. He was a Mekubal in Litva at the times of the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, so the Leshem, after wrote his books, he sent them to the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai approved, which means the Leshem looked up to the Ben Ish Chai as like the authority to turn to in Kabbalah. And the Leshem, you have to realize, the Chafetz Chaim said that whoever can see him in Olam Haza should, because in Olam Haba none of us, Chafetz Chaim included, were ever going to meet him again. He's just like all the way up there. Okay? And by the way, the Leshem's writings were all copied by his grandson, Rav Yashiv, which had that side too, but nobody talks about it. He refused to talk about it in a very systematic fashion. Whenever he was asked, he refused to talk about it. Okay, so that's the Ben Ish Chai. Now, we're all familiar, there's a yeshiva called Parat Yosef. Who's Yosef? There was a guy called Yosef Avraham Shalom. He was a big, rich guy in the Baghdad or an origin in the business community in India. He wanted to do something for the Jewish people. So he turned to the Ben Ish Chai. He asked him, I'm willing to make this fun, like huge fund to support Torah. What do I do with it? So the Ben Ish Chai told him, buy a piece of land in the old city and start a yeshiva. Yeshivat Parat Yosef was founded the same year that the Ben Ish Chai passed away, which is 1909. Okay? Now, Yeshivat Parat Yosef is going to be the place where all Sephardi leaders grew. Then the one that we're more familiar is Rav Avadia, but everybody who's an anybody went through that place. And just like in Volozhin, like that was the place at the time that had all the talents and all the future leaders coming from, that was Parat Yosef for the Sephardim. Okay, at the beginning, the first Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef was a person called Laniado, I think Rabbi Shlomo Laniado, I forgot his first name right now. The Laniado dynasty is a dynasty of rabbis from Chaleb, Syria. He died as a young person. The Laniado family go back all the way to the times of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef said about one of them that he is a man of my stature. It's like they were that big. So the Laniado family was the first Rosh Yeshiva in Parat Yosef. He passed away young, and therefore you're going to hear very little about him in terms of like making a hallmark in history. It's hard to say that he did, but he was the founder of the place. He was the first Rosh Yeshiva. The second Rosh Yeshiva was a very, very famous person called Rabbi Ezra Atiyah. Rabbi Ezra Atiyah was Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef. I'll tell you the story of Rabbi Ezra Atiyah. Rabbi Ezra Atiyah, also a guy that was born in Syria, Chaleb, Aleppo. He was an only son to a person called Chacham Yitzchak Atiyah. Chacham Yitzchak Atiyah and his wife did not have children for many years. There is a place in Syria called Tedef. Like if you ask real hardcore Syrians, they'll tell you all about it. It's a little town somewhere out there. And there's a shul in Tedef, an ancient shul, where the Syrian community has this Masorah that Ezra HaSofer wrote a Sefer Torah in that shul. So nobody knows how accurate that Masorah is, But Tedef was a place that people would go to daven. Like, you know, people go to Uman, people go to... So people in Syria, if they were not able to come to Eretz Israel and this and that, they would go to that shul in Tedef. So one day, Rebbetzin Atiyah decided that she's going to that shul to pray to have a son, which she went there, and she made a neder. Her neder was, if she gets a son, she's going to name him after Ezra Sofer, because that was his place. That was his place. And she's going to designate him to Torah. Sometime after that, she got pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. His name was Ezra Atiyah, as he was born. He passed away as Chacham Ezra Atiyah. Chacham Ezra Atiyah was the Rav of all the Sephardi Rabbanim at that generation. Everybody that went to Parat Yosef, he was like Reb Chaim Volozhin for the Ashkenazim, he was that for the Sephardim. Okay, if you would see him, he, like, I never saw him, although I think I was, like, born the same year he passed away. He passed away, like, in somewhere in the early 70s, I believe. So, whatever, he dressed like, with this, like, funny turban and like and a dress. It was like very strange. He was considered to be like a top lamdan. In Syria, they Ian was considered very high. Not Ian with Reb Chaim, but Maharashi, Taisus, Maharsha, Maharam Shif. Those books were considered to be like a big deal. There was also like a term called Chacham Rashum. Chacham Rashum was a person that was recognized by the community as someone who's a serious learner, and the community would finance him. Okay, so he was learning there, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael. Like I forgot to mention, his father passed away. He grew up as a yosom, but his mother made sure that he learns Torah. Okay. Years later, he became this very, very big gadol, who was in. He is the first remembered Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef, and everybody knew him. Like Rav Mordechai Eliyahu went to his shir, Rav Avadia Yosef went to his shir. Everybody went to him. He was the man at the time, like the second generation of Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef, Rav Tzadka. And Rav Ben Tzion Abashal are his students too. Everybody was his student. There's a Sefer Zikaron for him called Hamore. The teacher. It's very interesting that Sefer Zikaron was actually written by a woman. Very interesting. Like today it would never have happened, but his biography was actually written by a woman. It's a very nice book. If you ever see it in the library, I recommend highly. Anyways, so that's Chacham Ezra Atiyah. Chacham Ezra Atiyah was the guy that the rich man kept connections with. Now, although they had this support from the rich man, you have to realize how poor and miserable things are. People that were rich back then, today, you know, like, wouldn't be, it's not that impressive to us. So, in Parat Yosef, they had, I think there's a picture in this book of the old Parat Yosef. Who here? Who lives in the Pojo dorms here? So this is Parat Yosef, old building. Yeah. So Parat Yosef. Over here, there are a few apartments that were given to married people. One single person got an apartment there. That was Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri, the big makubal that passed away at the age of 113, like 5 years ago. He was at the time single. He got married really late, 37. He had an apartment here. Very few apartments, and that was the yeshiva. Now Parat Yosef. They were so poor that they could not afford to light the place at night. So at night people would walk from Parat Yosef to Yeshiva's Chevron, or to other yeshiva places in the outside the old city, because like there was light there. There was literally no light in the Beis Medrash in Parai Yosef because people were so poor. One of those chavrusas that would go and back and forth on a regular basis was Rav Mordechai Eliyahu and Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu was 9 years old, younger than Rav Avadya Yosef. He was holding the lamp. Rav Avadya was walking. Rav Avadya would go over Tanakh together. Rav Avadya would say over the Psukim by heart, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu would say what the Mefarshim say about everything. That's what they would do, like, for quite a while. The last thing that they had learned together, I heard this story from Rav Daikin, that's a very cool story, was when Rav Avadya was sitting Shiva, I don't remember for whom, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu came to visit, and the first sentence he said, Pamim Rabot Karati Lefanav B'Daniel. Anybody here did Mishnayos Yoma? Okay, I'm just gonna express my opinion. Losers. Mishnayos Yoma, one of the things to keep the Kohen Gadol awake before the day of Yom Kippur was to read the fascinating books of Tanakh. So the one of the Tanaim says, someone that was actually in fact in the Beis Hamikdash said, Rabbi Zechariah ben Kvutal says that I read Daniel to the Kohen Gadol. That was the last thing that Rav Avadya and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu learned together as they were walking at nights from Parat Yosef to Yeshiva's Hebron, where there was light. Okay, now Parat Yosef at the time, as I said, had like the biggest concentration of talents in the Sephardi world. Like, I'll drop in a few names. The most famous one is Rav Avadya. His peers were people like Rav Ben Zion Abashal. He was a Rosh Yeshiva there. Rav Ben Zion Abashal, very rare case, a Persian guy. There were no yeshivas in Persia. There were no yeshivas in Persia. His family made Aliyah. It was like a whole big to-do. And he was like considered to be like a very big Rosh Yeshiva and a Lamdan. By the way, I forgot to mention about Rabbi Ezra Atiyah. He once met the Chazon Ish, and they spoke in learning. And after that, the Chazon Ish said about him, and all the Sephardi books are going to quote this line, because that's like a big deal. The Chazon Ish said about him, Svarato ke Svarat HaRishonim, that he is able to think like a Rishon. That's what he said. Okay. So all the big guns went there. There was a guy called Rav Tzion Levi. Rav Tzion Levi, not so known to people in Eretz Yisrael, was the chief rabbi of Panama. When he was the chief rabbi of Panama, the Sephardi community there was so not religious that one of his drawings to get the people to come to shul was he would inform them about their father's yahrzeit both in the Hebrew date and in the non-Hebrew date, in the Goyish date. Because that way he got them to come to shul twice, you know. This guy's father passed away in Rosh Chodesh, whatever, Cheshvan, that happened to have been sometimes in October, I don't know how, but whatever. So he would call up the guy to tell him, you know, your father's Hebrew Yortzeit is coming. And then he would call him up again a week later. Now your father's Goyish Yortzeit is... That was his draw-in. And today, the Panama community is a very flourishing Sephardi community with a lot of Torah. So that was Rav Tzion Levi. That's like one guy. There were other people that are... that were all over Rav Naim ben Eliyahu. Rav Naim ben Eliyahu is Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's older brother. People are not familiar with the fact that Rav Eliyahu has an older brother. Rav Eliyahu's older brother was a big mekubal as well. He's much less known, but he was a big guy. I'm not sure whether he's still alive or not. If he is, he's in his late 90s. So all the Sephardi talents went to that place, went to Parat Yosef, and that's where they got their basics. They got their learning from Rabbi Ezra Atiya. Then they just started looking for places. Now you have to realize, to go to yeshiva at that time was a real act of mesiras nefesh. Because for us, what does it mean that we go to yeshiva? We buy a plane ticket, we take our parents' credit card, and we're good to go. Okay? That's normally the case. Now for those people, there was no guarantee in terms of how they're going to make it financially. There was nothing waiting for them. Nothing waiting for them, and they had to come up with different ways of making a living, and a lot of them came from dirt, poor homes. As you heard about Rav Avadia, Mordechai Eliyahu also came from a very poor home. And these people were literally as poor as they make them. So that's Parat Yosef. Parat Yosef, during 48 War, the War of Independence, Parat Yosef was burned. The yeshiva was burned. The yeshiva had a big library. One of the interesting things that they say, I did not check this, I don't know how you could, but today you probably can't, that a lot of times that Rav Avadia quotes a sefer, that he's the only person that knows the sefer. Because it was a sefer that he read before it was burned, when the Parat Yosef library was burned. And that sefer probably doesn't exist anymore. So I don't know if today you can check that, but that's what they say. The place was burned down. The head administrator of Parat Yosef was a person called Rabbi Ben Zion Chazan. Rabbi Ben Zion Chazan was one of the people, if you see in the pictures of the Jews surrendering to the Jordanian Legion in 48, he's one of the two rabbis that were walking with a white flag. It's very sad. But Parat Yosef was rebuilt, where you have seen it at the funeral. There were two yeshivas that were rebuilt there. It was Parat Yosef and the Yeshivat Beit El, the Mekubal place. Yeshivat Beit El, the one in the Rovo Plaza, that was rebuilt in the same area, more as the new Parat Yosef. By the way, Yeshivat Parat Yosef had an addition to the base medrash, to the regular learning, there was a little base medrash called Oz V'Hadar. Oz V'Hadar back then was not a Gemara. It was a base medrash. Base medrash for Mekubalim. I don't know if you're familiar, you ever saw Rav Shalom Cohen. Rav Shalom Cohen, the Rosh Yeshiva of this Parat Yosef. So Rav Shalom Cohen is the son of Rav Ephraim Cohen. Rav Ephraim Cohen was, at a certain point, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mekubal Yeshiva of Parat Yosef. He learned from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's father. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's father was the first head of that base medrash. He wrote a pirush on the Ari called Kerem Shlomo, I think. And his student was Rabbi Ephraim Cohen, who was also a student of the Ben Ish Chai. And Rav Shalom Cohen is that man's son. So you had Parat Yosef, you had Oz V'Hadar, not Oz V'Hadar Gemaras, but that was in terms of the big picture. Parat Yosef renewed itself in the location in Geula, and kept on going. Then at the time they would just use various Sephardi shuls, Sufayev and Musayev and all those places that were donated by Efta Musayev or Sufayev. Who donated that place?
Bukharim.
Very good, Bukharim. That's So there was a time period when the Bukhari community was the rich people of the Sephardi communities in Yerushalayim, and they donated a lot of things. There's a shul called Baruchov. All those places are like Bukhari sponsored places. They were established by them. Okay, so that's more or less the story. That's the world that Rav Avadia came from. After he came to Eretz Yisrael, he became part of Parat Yosef.
So when was this rebuilt?
This was rebuilt after 67.
And now there are two Parat Yosefs.
There's more. Parat Yosef became a chain of yeshivas. At a certain point, there was a Parat Yosef Geula, Parat Yosef Katamon, Parat Yosef Old City, and another Parat Yosef outside Yerushalayim somewhere. Now, all of the chain was closed down. The franchisers didn't do so well. So the only thing that was left was this Parat Yosef and that Parat Yosef.
Was Rav Avadia ever Rosh Yeshiva in Parat Yosef?
No. Rav Avadia was not a Rosh Yeshiva in Parat Yosef. But when Rav Avadia was around, he was considered to be the top guy in the yeshiva. He was one of the first guys to leave the yeshiva to Chutz La'aretz seeking for Parnasa. That's when he became the Av Beis Din of Cairo. That's its own story. That's more or less the background of the Sephardi Volozhin.
Yeah. Go ahead. 9 minutes.